going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Real grateful to be here on a Sunday, sunny Monday, April 28th. Yes, let me check the date. Stuttering a little bit to start off this show, but I'm feeling good. I know we've got, you know, sort of perhaps murky, gloomy things to talk about. It's officially done. Grizzlies are out. 2024-25 season is out. John is actually pulling out his growl towel right now. He's going to wave it one last time. It was his play-in tournament. For the M growl towel, he's waving that one final time. Symbolic on this day, OKC completes the 4-0 sweep. We did get a surprisingly competitive game four there, especially with Ja Morant out for the Grizzlies. 117-115, Grizzlies go down to likely MVP to be SGA. He had 38 points in that one. Had a chance there late. You know, put some respect, Brad. Do we have that early? Put some respect on the effort in game four. In the end, you get swept. That's what we predicted. That's why we said you don't want to play this. You would also lose the first round pick. And so now we must pick up the pieces, and at least we've got some pieces, right? Some beating around the bush, but at least we've had those exit interviews yesterday when it came to Zach Kleiman, the players themselves. What's going to happen? Do we really know? That's why I said murky, because I don't know that anything is concrete. After yesterday's exit interviews, Thunder, meanwhile, going to go face the Nuggets Clippers in that series. That winner, at least, in that series is now tied 2-2, returns to Denver on Tuesday after Nuggets got a put-back slam. How about that from Aaron Gore with 0.1 left? John and I were just talking about what you can do in 0.3 and 0.2 and 0.1 and Trent Tucker rules, all that stuff. In this case, you know, it looked like Jokic was just throwing up a prayer and that game was going to overtime. And frankly, Denver steals one to even it up. Playoffs go on without you. And we will move on. But, John, I'm happy to be here. I'm grateful to be your partner. I'm grateful to have you, Brad Martin, as our – Brad Martin. Man, is that an old name? See what – it's kind of genius the way that happens. It's both of y'all.
Yeah.
Combined.
Yeah.
My love for both of y'all.
That's right.
Right, is infinite. But it's also a real name.
It is a real name. It's a real person.
And a guy that used to give John all the scoops. It's how he got the football coach. It's how he got – at least that's what me and Phil Stukenborg thought back in the day.
Yeah.
Wrongly. Do you remember Brad
Martin?
Oh,
yeah, 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 yeah. No, I mean –
was he interim
– He was the interim president. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And honestly, he did really good things. I mean, in his short time.
Brad Carson, I looked to you. At one point, Phil Stukenborg and I over the commercial appeal figured that Brad Martin and John Martin were related, and that's how this young, hot reporter – breaking everything at like 17.
Yep.
Came onto the scene. Breaking stories that longtime beat writers couldn't.
I had a hell of a 2 years.
Brad Martin helped him.
From 2011 to 2012.
Cousin, right?
Yeah. I think I said he was my uncle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But from 2011 to 2012, I broke the football coach hire in Fuente.
I'm not kidding.
I broke the AD hire in Tom Bowen. And I broke the Austin Nichols commitment, which at the time was huge.
And how old were you? Seriously, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but
21.
He was busting our tails.
21, and, you know, I don't know what happened, but.
That's how he burst onto the scene.
You know.
What are you talking about? What happened? You got your own show.
That's true. I do have my own show.
You're your own show, and you're national.
You're right. That's true. I guess it all worked out in the end, didn't it?
No, what's good is that you only see what's ahead for you.
Yeah.
And that the climb is not done. You want more, don't 100%. You, John? 100%. John Martin wants more, even after a good draft over the weekend for his Raiders.
It was okay. I liked some of the things we did. Oh, I mean, I wasn't thrilled with it, but, yeah, Ashton Jensen is basically, I'm good, I'm done.
Exactly.
So, anyway, a lot to get to on the show. We will talk about the Shedeur Sanders slide. We will talk about all of the reaction and
how about the prank,
the prank calls. It wasn't just him either. Apparently, it was more. It was an epidemic over the weekend. So we will get into that a little bit later in the show. Respect Burgers, 1 o'clock. Jeff Calkins at 1:25. But yeah, season is over for the Memphis Grizzlies. And you know, look, you blow that lead in game three, you lose Ja Morant. This was a formality. You were 15.5-point underdogs, though I did bet the Grizzlies plus 15.5, which you know. And I was down there. I went down to the game. I had an offer day of, and my good buddy Chris said, "Hey, I got some tickets. Would you like to come down with me?" I said, "Hell yeah! I love basketball."
Well, that's awesome.
I mean, I have to go pay my respects to this team, to this organization, right? And so I had a great time down there. Spent probably $300 in high noons, you know.
Good grief.
Well, it's not hard. It's only six.
On one last go around.
Yeah. So, you know, it was obviously a very somber affair.
I mean, you were in it.
I'm just saying, like before, you know, you go down.
Oh,
like,
well, of course. Well, the crowd itself, right? Everything I heard and saw tweeted was that it wasn't a crowd. You know?
There have been a lot of think pieces and tweets about the crowd.
Well, you were there. You tell me what I need to know.
It was definitely sparse. Okay. Like it was sparse relative to what you would expect for
not shocking to you.
Yeah, like
is what you're telling.
Did we really expect 18,500 people to be there with?
Well, of course not 18,500.
Down 3-0 with your star guy, your
but
star
were there
player
even
down.
Less than probably you had envisioned is what I'm asking.
No, probably not.
It was normal for what you thought.
Yeah,
I didn't
think it was like.
Then I'm fine.
But a lot of media though did. They found it.
Oh, I saw it.
You know, and I would just say like, let's see the Miami crowd tonight. Let's see how packed that is. Mm. Right, that's an 8 seed. They're down 3-0. They're at home for game 4. You know, they suck. You know, let's see how packed that place is. I mean, that's just that, you know, it's just sometimes I do think people tee off on Memphis because it's easy to tee off on Memphis.
Yeah, we've kind of set ourselves up for some of it.
I don't blame the people that didn't go. I don't blame people for not going.
Yeah, I'm not talking anything
related on Saturday. Right. Like I mean, I went because I had the opportunity to go, and like again, I love going to games regardless of, you know, and I didn't pay for them. That's the other thing. I didn't have to pay for them. Would I have paid to go to that game on Saturday? Hell no. I mean, why would I? I mean, Ja ain't playing. Team got 50-pieced. They just blew a 29-point lead the game before. They're 15.5-point underdogs down 3-0. Why would I spend my hard-earned money to go see that? I mean, it's just if it's the Grizzlies, if it's the Heat, if it's the whoever's in that situation down 3-0, I don't blame Memphians at all. It's incumbent upon the team and the organization to be better, not the fans. I mean, it's just that simple. The accountability needs to start with the organization and the team and the players before we start going in on fans for not showing up.
And did that accountability start yesterday, John?
I don't know. It felt in some ways maybe. I thought there was some sobering admissions maybe from Zach Kleiman yesterday when he said that we know we're not close. You know, because that's what we talked about. We talked about whether or not they would think, oh, we just ran into a juggernaut, the second highest net rated team in the NBA, and Ja got hurt, and we're gonna run this thing back because we feel like we like our guys. That was a concern.
Right.
We got our answer there. They don't believe that.
Well, they can't believe it when you're 0-14 versus other playoff teams since the trade deadline. Literally 0-14.
Jesus.
You don't get play-ins. You don't get Dallas.
Right.
I'm talking about teams that are in, and John, all of them came against Eastern Conference teams that are likely not to win their first round series. two versus Miami, one versus Orlando, one versus Detroit. That's since the deadline. You didn't beat one playoff team. Now, that included some of Taylor Jenkins, and it included Isolo, and it includes, obviously, the play-in loss to Golden State. I'm not giving you Dallas here. We're talking about teams that are still playing.
They're in the
and
postseason.
All of your wins are against Eastern Conference teams that are not going to advance.
Wow.
How could he tell us anything other than we're not close when you were 0-14
wow.
versus Western Conference playoff teams? Or at least against the playoff teams that are.
But no, they beat the Pistons. They did. But they beat the Pistons
again.
Western. Gotcha.
The four wins.
Gotcha.
The four wins are against the four wins they have against playoff teams since the deadline are against Eastern Conference teams.
Right.
They're 0-14 versus playoff teams. The other ones.
Yeah. That's
okay. I mean, it's
OKC.
It might be six of those. I think two of them are regular season losses to OKC. Four of them are playoff. But the point is, you didn't beat one.
Right.
You didn't beat one that wasn't in the Western Conference. You didn't beat one. That's where you are, John. That's what matters.
Yeah. No,
and so you can't say you're close when you didn't beat any of them.
Correct.
Over since the trade deadline.
And some of those games were like, you know, those teams weren't even fully healthy.
When you said that this is our team on the floor. Now, again, that doesn't include, you know, a Dallas in a play-in, whatever Dallas down the stretch of the season. They made the play-in.
Dude, a Dallas but team without Kyrie, that, yeah, nobody's buying
telling
that.
Yourself that you were better than Dallas, I mean, feeling that way after the play-in, that doesn't get you anywhere in terms of you've got to pay this big three or not. You've got to decide if it's together.
Yep.
You aren't close at all. And so back to where you started, if he had said anything other, I can't give him too much credit for saying we're not close.
Yeah.
When if you had said anything else, it's a lie.
Well, no, I mean, that's
true. You're just telling the truth.
But organizations do gaslight their fans all the time. And so, at least in this instance, that was not attempted. You know, he said we're not one gritty veteran away from being a championship team. He mentioned that. He mentioned that he put too much stock into Gigi Jackson and Vince Williams Jr.,
which was just what he said last year about doubling down. And then that gets me to, you know, this year was unintentionally young.
Yes,
which he repeated. You know, and he used Jalen Wells' emergence this year as part of the example of that. Well, this guy was so good, and Jalen Wells was great as a second-round pick in his rookie season. But the reason he was able to beat out folks at the three spot was, one, because your guys weren't ready, Vince and Marcus Smart, a situation that you had spent a first-round draft pick to bring in here and one that you had to spend one to get him out of here. And so the point is, what you had for Jalen Wells to beat out, God bless him, it wasn't good enough. And so to use this sort of, well, we were unintentionally young because we had to be, you know, no, it was set up that way, made by poor decisions. And certainly the Marcus Smart would have to be, you know, trade in, trade out would have to be considered that. And so I just, you know, that part of it, unintentionally young, was almost, we didn't do it. On purpose this time,
right?
Like last year when he said we made a mistake,
right?
Well, not maybe you didn't do it on purpose, but that's what ends up happening. And again, in the end, the buck stops with you. It's your team that was too young, right? Or lacks culture, whatever it is, to compete.
Yeah, I mean, and so now it's like, okay,
defensive.
You acknowledge that you know. He talked about Jaren Jackson Jr. being a high priority, which, you know, we would expect. I don't think there was much said about Bane. And I don't think there were any, like, really necessarily sweeping declarations made about the future at all. I think, you know, the emphasis was keep an open mind. We have to be open to everything. And, you know, look, I have no idea. I have no clue. This is not necessarily based on anything that I've heard. But I just would be completely stunned if they bring back the head coach, regardless of what Ja said. I think I would be stunned if they bring back the head coach, and I would be stunned if they bring back, like, if Jaren, Desmond Bane, and Ja Morant are all on this roster in game one of next season, I'd be pretty surprised. I'd be pretty surprised by that. Again, I haven't heard anything, but, you know, you can't just sit here and do nothing. You're at the point where you need to break something. For the sake of breaking it, because you have to show Ja Morant, and this is the point I made last week, you have to show Ja Morant, who is your box office. He's flawed. He needs to be more professional. He needs to be on the court. He needs to make better decisions on and off the court. No question about that. I think he's done a good job off the court. Now we got to get back to on the court. We got to make sure we stay there, because this is now three postseasons where he has left the series early because of injury. and that's a problem. But he still is your box office. So you got to show that guy that you're committed to building around him and winning more than you are. And I don't think you do that by standing pat.
Yeah. Ja Morant, what he thinks of Islo is going to matter greatly, because in the end, it's what you said. He is still central to all of this, unless you've decided you're going to move on from him. And maybe you weigh that beforehand. But what he thinks of Isolo, and I didn't, you know, we were all focused on player comments, what they're saying. Would it just be the run-of-the-mill stuff that you're supposed to say? And Ja did seem to be exciting, using words. Ja did just seem to be on board with it.
I wouldn't read too much into that.
I'm not doing it, and I get you, and I'm glad you stopped me there. I'm not trying to read too much into it. I think it's the most important thing, though, when you're deciding whether or not you're going to move on from this coach. Totally. I really do.
Totally.
Because in the end, I think, like you said, whether you move on, you know, from one of these guys or not, it just feels like, you know, we talked about Bane and Jaren don't sell the tickets.
100%.
You know, even if you got if you like the return a little bit better, can you afford to? Especially when you got Jaren coming up on the contract right now, and you're talking about maybe, you know, $300, $350 for a guy that right now doesn't look like he needs to be at that level. Let's just put it that way.
100%.
Right?
100%.
And so what Ja's saying does matter. More importantly, more than what he's saying, what he's believing behind closed doors matters. And if he's on board with Isolo, I think he's going to be back.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not that's a mistake
on
the part of Kleiman, you know, to be determined.
Yeah.
Because you could have Ja unhappy next year. If you're not beating playoff-level teams, if you're not back to contender, this guy could be like, I'm out.
100%.
They have wasted me.
100%
is what he could say.
Oh, I mean, dude, we're in that territory.
Now,
this is year what, 7?
But you're
going into.
I would ask you, you're ready for that gamble, right? Are we both at a place where it feels like you have to gamble with Ja? You have to build this thing in terms of whatever it's restructuring Big Three, everything around him. You got to give it a try with him. Whether it's Isolo next coach, it's all got to be because we need to know that before.
I would personally say yes, because he's got what, 3 years left on his deal. You know,
yeah,
he's got.
He's locked in right now.
Yeah, he's got 3 years left on his deal. You know, 26, 27, 28 seasons. Right. I mean, this is like the prime of Ja.
You saw the crowd. You weren't overly shocked at where it was. You're right. I mean, this team had no chance. But let's just be real. I mean, you have to get this fan base re-energized.
100%.
Going into the next year.
Yep.
And trying to do that without Ja,
it's impossible.
It's scary. It may be impossible.
They're complaining about season ticket sales and attendance now. Trade Ja and see how you like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the city would quit. I mean, because, again, he's flawed, but he is the franchise. He's the face. He's the face.
Yeah.
They would not Grizzlies fans would not boycott if Jaren Jackson Jr. or Desmond Bane was traded, right? Now, again, the merits of that, we can argue all day.
Well, there'd be a lot not boycotting Ja too, but to your point, you're losing much of what you are. You're losing much of what you're selling
now
in terms of what you can be.
100%.
So I felt like we need to make sure you and I, in terms of moving forward, because remember when we got out of here, we said the first thing was if Zach Kleiman's going to be one making these decisions, well, it certainly would appear
it
so when you
like
roll
that.
Him out
it
there.
It feels like that.
When
now,
you
the Grizzlies
roll him
did
out
fire
there,
Chris Wallace a day after he did his.
And that was Zach and them, right? It was JB too. And that was a young GM that had just taken over, didn't know what he was doing. But my point is, if we thought it was at a point where, because we were questioning those things, if you're going to break up Big Three, do you want Zach Kleiman doing it? You know, trading hasn't been his strength. In fact, it's been a weakness for him.
Yep.
It appeared to me that rolling him out there Sunday.
There's no doubt.
Because you could have axed him.
Yep.
You didn't have to roll him out there. You could have pushed exit interviews till Monday, had somebody else do it, whatever else. We're going a different direction.
Yep.
So that question got answered. That's why I'm here asking you right now, all right, are you and I, and best thing for this franchise, more importantly, saying, look, you got to – it's not please Ja, but you got to try to rebuild this thing around him in the best way possible, whether that's with – back to your coaching thing. Isolo?
Yep.
Next coach?
Yeah, I mean,
it has to be because, I mean – Kleiman's career, frankly, is banking on it.
100%.
It's not just the Grizzlies' success.
Yeah.
So he's, again, what I'm concerned about is, okay, Ja does like Isolo. His numbers did get better.
Yeah.
After Isolo came on, you know, those things matter to him.
Yeah.
Flow mattered. Edie's coming out, setting screens. All this is familiar again.
Yeah.
So my concern is if you keep saying coach, and there's really still no culture next year. If he can't get to, and you're still going to have a coach as highly respected as he is worldly. that's learning on the job.
Sure.
At a time you're trying to re-energize fan base, they don't want to be just a playoff team. Look like to me they want to be a contender. That's what they were told. That's what they've been, you know, they've watched this Big Three, quote unquote, grow up.
Yeah.
And so that's, I could see it at the halfway point not hitting those marks.
Right.
And then what do you do?
No, when
Robert Pera has to say you've met, especially if there's a trade demands those kind of things. So it's just my point is it's dangerous territory they're embarking on. And I didn't feel like we had a ton of answers. He wasn't committal on keeping the three together.
No, he wasn't. I would liken where the Grizz are in a tough spot. I would liken where they are and stay with me here, but I would liken where they are to you're playing in a poker tournament, right? And the blinds are going up. In this case, salary cap's going up, your payroll's going up, and your chip stack is kind of dwindling, right? Like it's not as flush as it once was. It's not as good as it looked 2 years ago or two pay jumps ago.
Do I have quad twos in my hand?
You may not have quad twos, but you've got king, queen of diamonds. Mm-hmm. It's not a pair. It's not even an ace high. But now is the time, right? Now is the time you got to push the chips in, and you got to hope that you can make a move on the flop, on the turn, on the river, and hope that even with maybe not the best hand going in, you find a way, you know, to stay alive and double up. That's kind of how I feel. That's, and again, it's tough. Like nobody wants to shove all in with king queen, bro. Like nobody wants to do that. It's not a comfortable feeling, but you got to do something. You can't just sit here. You can't just sit on your hands because you're going to blind out, right? You're going to just lose money and your ante and all that. So you have to do something to stay alive in the game. And I think that's kind of where the Grizzlies are. Like, they don't have aces. They don't have kings. They're not in an advantageous situation, Jason. But you have to do something for your fans, for your superstar. I thought Isolo looked like he was in way over his head in game four. They were competitive, but the idea that you're going home with your challenges, the idea that you didn't use one single challenge is like, it's like egregious to me. I'm not sure they would have won any of them, but like the idea that you didn't fight at all, I just don't think he is the right coach for this moment for the Grizzlies. You know, I just don't. I'm not feeling it. I'm not. You know, and that's only. I think he's a smart basketball coach. This has nothing to do with his acumen, but like you got to get the right dude for the moment. And is Isla really that?
Well, then I would question whether or not that what Ja says, what he thinks.
I think he was just political yesterday. I don't think he would have come on there and say, "Yeah, this dude sucks. He has no idea what he's doing."
If that's the case, let's go back to getting the culture guy.
You got to go do a
coaching
search.
Let's go back to getting the guy that's going to hold Ja more accountable. I've heard others sort of coming on board with this, that it's not so much a coach that's going to give him a comfort level, right, and keep him, "Hey, man, how's Ja feeling today?" It's a coach that's challenging him.
Yep.
In a way that he hasn't been before.
Yep.
And maybe Ja you know, reacts adversely to that over the long haul. But if you're going to do this right, that's where I'm at. You have to try to not just appease Ja or acquiesce to his demand. I'm trying
collaborate.
To collaborate, but also challenge him. Not collaborate in a "I'm dancing with you before the game."
Right.
Very important here.
Right.
Because I think in a lot of ways that's how the organization has handled him up to this point.
Yes.
It has to be an understanding, yes, it's a collab, because you're going to be involved on us going and picking the next guy that's going to get the best out of you, brother.
100%.
And in doing, getting the best out of you, it ain't always going to be rosy.
Yeah.
He's going to challenge you, but Ja, this is where we're at. We've got to go find this culture guy that's going to add to what you've got.
Yep.
And that's the way we rebuild this thing. And if it's trading Jaren Jackson Jr. to get you the pieces to do it, brother, we've got to. But this is sort of where I was when I thought coaching fix could be the lone thing. Now, we got further down, John. Roster's important here.
Yep.
And now after this OKC beatdown, you know, Big Three is what we're questioning. The conversation broadened on how contenderish this is, even all the way up to the Big Three.
Yeah.
But if you could put a culture type coach, and again, when I'm saying culture, I just mean Ja Morant right now can't lead the culture in the sense that of an SGA type, that everybody's ready to fall behind and always good results are produced. He played, 50 games this year?
That's right.
Right? You can't depend. And so you need a coach
Anthony
that is
Edwards
more of
played
that.
79.
Wow. Anthony Edwards sets the culture up there. And he's at a point in his career where he can do that.
That's the difference, right?
Yeah.
That is the difference.
I'd love to be able to give that over to Ja right now, but you haven't been able. Availability has been part of that, but also choices, things that, you know, that's part of your culture.
It is.
You need that. To me, that's a veteran. Now, listen, this is what's not going to happen. Michael Malone. Because Michael Malone, who's won a title and is out of a job right now, challenges front offices, clearly. He comes in and does. I mean, I'm just saying.
And he coached Nikola Jokic, bro. He's not coming in here and laying down for Ja. He's just not going
to
do it.
To me, that might be a good thing. However, front office ain't going for it. I listened to Zach Kleiman yesterday.
He ran.
What I'm trying to tell you.
Stale on the players.
Here's the thing. Is Zach Kleiman, we just said Ja's got to be challenged. Is Kleiman really willing to be challenged? Because I sensed some defensiveness yesterday.
Right.
I don't know who's out there who needs to hear this, but we got unintentionally young.
Right.
Going through your dogs, enlisting Cam Spencer, bro.
That's crazy.
Cam Spencer had a great game against Phoenix that game. He went at it versus
KD.
That's like
North Korea propaganda.
But talking about your future and Cam Spencer as a key part of it, man, stop.
That was bad.
And so there was a lot of defensiveness in it.
Yep.
The kind of defensiveness that I don't, you know, is sort of displayed sometimes by a guy who thinks I'm right, right? What I've done is right. Sure, I've made some decisions, but my vision right now is right. It doesn't need to be altered or adjusted. I don't need to be challenged.
Yep.
And so that's where I feel like he still is. I could be completely wrong. Like you said about the Ja comments, I could be reading too much in. Zach Kleiman might be ready to really adjust, but he's going to have to adjust all the way to really fix this thing. And I'm glad you went there. Because just acquiescing to Ja saying, oh, I like this offense, might not be what's going to get you through next season. It could go bad. Isolo could show, hey, he ain't ready for this.
Yep.
And Ja could be asking out of here.
Yep.
Maybe you're better off. Again, we've used Ime Udoka as that type.
Yep.
Getting that guy and just banking on, okay, we got to get culture back. And whether it's with Ja now or later, we're gonna you know, establish our own culture here, and we're going to try to make Ja the face of it.
100%. And not everybody's going to agree with that. Not everybody.
Oh, I'm sure not.
Because,
some folks are.
Because, you know, the availability is a problem.
Huge.
And people are going to say, how can you bank on him being.
You can't, I guess, but he's the box office.
But he is your ticket. He is your ticket to the upside, to the future. Like, you have him. He's the one with the signature shoe. Ladies and gentlemen, like, we cannot forget that. He just unveiled Ja 3. Like, he is one of very few in the league that has his own. And I'm not, you know, Adidas and Under Armour and Puma is one thing. But when you have a Nike signature shoe, that's a different stratosphere that you're in. And the Grizzlies have that guy. You know, I mean, remember, dude, before all the off-court stuff, he was doing, like, commercials for, like, Spider-Man.
Right.
You know, he did the spot with Anthony Edwards. Was it Churches or Popeyes? I don't remember which one. I'm sorry.
We were right there. He was taking over with Ant. I mean, we, you know, if not ahead of Ant in a way.
Jaren's never going to be that guy.
No.
Bane's never going to be that guy.
Well, and it's not just that. Remember what we saw on the court against OKC when he goes out. Now, I'm not going as far as to say this thing could have been 2-2 if he stays in like he did afterwards. But the point was, Ja Morant was the only thing on the floor versus OKC.
Yep.
You know, and especially after they figured some things out, he did.
Yep.
He's right about that. I just winced at the timing of it, you know, after you just get swept. But that is Ja Morant. He said, I know this is going to go viral.
Yep.
But my point is, what happened when he left the floor? You had... We can point to game four and say, well, they had a chance. No. I'm not going to point to that as evidence.
Okay,
that
so you this shot franchise 20% is, from three.
Thank you. And so we literally, everything you just said about what Ja can be off the court and what that means for the organization, but also on, you saw it.
Right.
Why it doesn't feel like you can move off from him.
Exactly.
Is because he's literally the thing that moves the needle.
He does.
And he was the one thing against OKC that, for the most part, looked like it belonged, looked like it could beat them at times.
Exactly.
You know, that's who they, you know, how many guys you think on that scouting report? I realize you're down a couple of rotation guys when you don't have Brandon. But that whole defense, you know, the way that your scouting report is focused and geared towards stopping Steph, like we talked about with Ja after that loss, Steph had 50-something, that's everybody with Ja. They're not doing that for the other guys. They're not doing. Nobody else is central to the game plan.
Yep.
And if I had better option, or I thought I could, you know, you're going to get something great in the return. Maybe that's a different way. But I do think these conversations about moving forward, if we're going to have concrete ones, it has to start there.
Yep, I agree.
But he maybe this, you know, him being non-committal on keeping big three together. He talked about Jaren being a priority. Those kind of things. You know, maybe that means he's ready to get uncomfortable and have to break this thing up.
Yeah,
that he understands that.
Again, we'll see, but I just think that it is going to be an off season of great change. That would just be my guess. Just again, knowing what's sort of at stake here, I think you have to do it, and I think you have to do a real coaching search, and I think you have to consult with Ja on it, and I think, you know, Ja's going to have to be accountable as well, because, you know, he's going to be 26 years old now, and all right, if we're going to sort of work together on this, you know, it falls on you. You're responsible for being in the game, for staying healthy, for making the right choices, for being a leader. You know, it's time for you to be that guy.
Yeah.
You're 26.
Well, it's also, again, going, it'll be year 7 next year.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to dunk on everybody.
Right.
And we had said it.
Yeah.
He seemed to understand. He joked about it in a way that I'm not doing it anymore, but in a way that he understands it's about my availability now.
Yeah.
And so those kinds of things, that evolution in that game, you know, becoming more cerebral, the mid-range, everything we've talked about, you know, that all has to become real. It has to come to fruition. It can't constantly be talked about, but he's still trying to, you know, every single play get a. I just think he has to understand at this point in his career, me being out here is more important than me getting the poster.
Yep.
You know, especially in the playoffs.
Yep.
And that's key to the availability.
So it's going to be a very, very fascinating offseason with you know, I would assume a move, a relatively big one, you know, as big as they can make. You know, I don't know. I can't predict what it will be. But
your assets, yeah.
Right.
That's why it feels like you have to include, you know, you have to work with this three and see how you're going to reshape it. Because there's not much else other than your future first-round picks going on this year.
Right.
And then Vince and Gigi.
That's right.
And how good they look in his assets right now to other teams.
Well, I will say Santi had a great game in game 4. His value, I mean, just that's our most recent game. That's what you're getting. Sign and trade, baby. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was like one of his – that was the best you could hope for from him. He played his ass off, at least offensively, you know. But, there's some team out there that's going to give him $20 million a year. I think the best the Grizzlies can do is look at him and say, hey, you know, mid-level, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean – 12, 14 million a year, like, I don't really think they could do much more than that. And I don't think he'd take that because he'd get more from a bad team, you know? So do a little sign and trade deal. Just mix it up, man. You got to change this thing up and just hope the next
whatever it takes
iteration works. It's all you can kind of do. But it's not 3 years ago, the Grizzlies were in an unbelievable situation. It's how fast change. They had the assets. They had the Warriors pick. They had the Jazz pick. They had their entire future ahead of them until they didn't.
You and just to sort of put bottom line this, you don't think, and I heard some callers saying this, and I believe there's people in the media thinking this, and maybe even some people in the organization, but that a few adjustments, keeping Issa low, you add a vet or two, a few adjustments to this core, you still keep with the plan to sign Jaren Jackson. You know, some people are, hey, we're not far off. I'm still hearing that after this sweep. It could that plan work? Could we be wrong that you've got to make serious adjustments, including...
I'm not extending Jaren in this offseason. I'm not doing it. I can't do it. And I hope he understands that.
Yeah.
Because if I do that, I'm going to have no more money. I'm literally going to have like $9 million left over, you know, and what's that going to even get me in 2025?
Yeah, you're going to have to move guys to clear cap space to do that, move guys that are currently on the roster. So what you can bring, you know, what you can sort of bolster the roster with after that is going to be thin, to your point about no money.
I can't really, you know, and again, I know this is, you know, he's not going to like this, but I really cannot commit to that this summer because too much can change, bro. Like, if I committed to Jaren and gave him the whatever the money would be, and I leave myself nothing else basically, and then I say, all right, we're gonna do exactly what you said, which is we're gonna try to add some marginal veteran pieces, mm-hmm. and we're just gonna pray that it gets better and that guys take a step, and then they end up in the play-in again, and Ja's sick about it, he wants out. Well, now what? I mean, I'm stuck.
Yes,
I'm stuck, and yes. I've committed all this money to Jaren, and I have no way out, and I have to trade Ja.
Can't do that.
I have to leave myself the flexibility. This is the moment. This is it.
Well, here's your guy then.
I think the urgency is like all time high.
This is the one of the three then.
Or should be.
To your point, right? Because you're at a crossroads with Jaren.
Well, again, he's gonna play this year out, which is he has one year left.
One year on the contract, but what are you going to let him? You can't give the possibility of him walking out of here and you got nothing.
I can still give him the most, though, right?
Yeah, I'm saying that. I'm just saying you go into next year. You're saying no, you're not signing him this year. No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is he then goes into the last year of his deal.
Right.
What you can't afford is to go past trade deadline and let this dude hit the market, and you've got nothing is what I'm telling you.
That is
true. You have to make your decision before the deadline, and maybe you're needing to make it right now is to my point.
Could you not do a sign-and-trade with him?
I'm sure. But what that's going to cost you and all that, I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, I just – again,
but my point is you can't let him walk out the door next year. And if you're not giving him the money this year, this extension, how you think he's going to
– Oh, I know.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? He's going to say, I want to hit the market.
But I'm building a – dude, I'm trying to build a team.
No, I'm only making these points not to push back on you.
You're right.
To say, I think you need to do this because paying Jaron between $350, whatever it's going to be, is not good business
for
this franchise right now.
That's right.
Based on the results that we just saw.
That's right.
Now, give him credit. He was the one guy one of the few that sounded like to me, okay, I got to be better. This is, I was not good enough. But, no, it's not good enough. And you can't pay, max money, the kind of money that Jokic and the rest of these bigs in the league, Karl-Anthony Towns, are making when he's not giving you those kinds of numbers.
Yeah.
As much as I respect what he's done with his career,
you've
proven that you can play through a season, be one of the team's most dependable players, maybe if not the most dependable. He's too expensive. He's going to be too expensive.
I mean, it's an unfortunate reality.
For the player he is.
But because I've already paid Desmond Bane, right? I've already had to do that. I've already paid Ja. Unfortunately, he's the guy. And if I was sitting down with him, if I was having these Jaron, respectfully, you got locked up by a 6'3 defender in this series. How on earth can I commit $300 million to you this offseason and that be my move? Yeah. And that be what I do?
That's just the real.
I mean, you need more help. I want to get you more help. I want you to, but I have other needs. I have other priorities. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I know they said he's a high priority, but like, damn, dude. I think there are way higher priorities than giving Jaron and fully committing to Jaron 5-year Supermax. It's not my team. I know Jaron feels like he deserved it, and in some ways he has. But the playoff performances, man, the playoff performances are what matter. They're what's supposed to matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't gotten enough. I have not gotten enough. Again, game three, you can't hold on to a 29-point lead with 24 minutes to play, and I got to give you $300 million. How do I do that? How do I do that? Unless I trade Desmond Bane.
That's what I was going to say. Maybe perhaps before you re-sign him to that, you can move off of Bane. It would be the only other way.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I think you do have to move off Jaron.
It's again, tough spots, dude. I mean, who would have thought we were in a situation like this? And that's not necessarily how the Grizzlies were talking. Like, we're talking in far more urgency than they were. But I don't think even if they had a trade locked up for tomorrow, they would even say, we're going to trade our guys. They have to be political about it, too. But I do. I think the urgency should be extremely high for this group because you're running out of time with it. You're running out of time. And, because you can only go through so many of these failures where, before somebody says, I've seen it, I've done it, I'm out. We see it around the league all the time.
Yeah.
Dude, Milwaukee is about to be there with Giannis in about 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now they got a title out of that, and they would feel good about it.
Oh, yeah.
But, dude, Giannis is not going to stay in Milwaukee. They have literally no assets. They have nothing. And they're losing the first round. Damian Lillard, sadly, tragically tore his left Achilles. His career might be over.
Might be.
I mean, 35?
He was already, dropping off.
Right. So Giannis is gone from Milwaukee. He's going to ask out. He's going to want to change the scenery. I have no doubt about that. This is the way it works in the ecosystem. You don't get to have these guys forever.
He's a great defensive player, but an anchor to this defense. But what was the defense looking like since the trade deadline?
Exactly. What did it mean?
Even with him.
What did it mean?
With him for most of it.
And Ja has to stay. Ja is non-negotiable. I think we're both on the same page there. Mm-hmm. Flawed. We get it. But it's the other guy.
I don't want to go forward with him with Isolo. I don't think it's the coach. I realize there were some things on paper analytically. Ja feels good about that. Look good, but I would just be really hesitant
right.
on going with a guy that's still learning on the job.
Yeah.
You know, is he can he set a culture himself?
Right.
You know, does he have to learn how to do that?
Yep.
How to deal with Jaw on the fly. I need somebody that's looking at Jaw saying, no, this is what I'm going to bring to the table, and we're going to get this Jaw out of it. You know, that's seen some things in this league and helped mature guys.
Exactly.
Those guys are out there.
They are out there, 100%. I mean, like
you said.
I feel
a lot better about it if it's a guy like that. So
Sam, I was watching the Magic Celtics game yesterday, and Sam was just really involved. You know, Sam is really involved with what the Celtics are doing. You know, he's standing up.
Yeah.
He's coaching. He's not just sort of a silent voice on that bench. Like, he's very much vocal and
Absolutely.
Active. So, like, man, that would make some sense coming over from, you know, Dame. You know, we've talked about Dame Stoudemire, former point guard, been in this organization
was part
two different
of building
ways.
The culture that with the Celtics still have now with Ime. He was right there on his side. He was part of that. He was the guy holding Marcus Smart accountable.
Yeah. Now, of course, those guys would be first-time head coaches as well.
They would
be experiments in their own right.
But I don't think, I'm not saying those guys are the right guys for it, but what Kleiman, I'm convinced he's not going to do, just out of the sort of spirit we got out of him yesterday, is go get the Michael Malone type that comes in here. Here's my way. This is how we're going to do it. I've won championships this way.
Right.
In front office, you're wrong on this.
Yep.
I don't think Kleiman's there yet. I didn't get that sense yesterday.
Yeah, I tend to agree. But, man, it's, you know, crossroads, brother.
Yeah, absolutely.
Meet me there. Meet me at the crossroads.
I know. We got crossroads for the organization. We got crossroads on Jaren's contract. I
mean, man.
This is real.
Yeah, we'll talk to Jeff Coggins about it. I don't know that he's quite where we are with it, but I think ultimately everybody will arrive. Some will just be a little later than others. But we'll talk to him about that, about the Grizzlies, and more at 1:25. Jason and John, how are you trying to...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
FM ESPN. Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN, on a, I don't know, was it a eulogy Monday?
I mean, it doesn't have to be.
Post-mortem. That's better. Post-mortem. Post-script of this Grizzly season, which, you know, at one point was glorious. 2 in the West, 36-15. Was that the record?
Yeah.
That was the peak.
At the deadline.
Yeah. And then, of course... not many wins after that.
14-23 if you include the 1-1 in play and 0-4 in playoffs.
Yeah, got to include those.
And again, of that 14-23, you were 4-14 against playoff teams in the regular season. 0-1 in play and 0-4 in playoffs. That means 4-19 versus other playoff teams. And all of those four wins came against Eastern Conference teams that won't advance.
Yeah.
There's not much success in there, and yes, you're not even remotely close.
Yeah, and so that's, you know, where this conversation will inevitably start. Chris Harrington wrote at the Daily Memphian today, basically, you know, he called it like a decision tree, and the decision that impacts everything else starts with the question of, is this core three of Ja, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson Jr., is it worth keeping together? because it's going to be an extremely expensive trio on paper. You know, because Desmond Bane, what, 207? You know, Ja, obviously, what is, I don't even know what Ja, what did Ja get? 197, which, pretty good deal, honestly, in today's cap. And then Jaren is eligible, we think, for 300 to 350. You know,
yeah, it gets up to 350. You do the All NBA. We'll see.
Right, but at 300 would be like the, you know, 290, 300. I mean, you can you know.
I don't like 300.
Finagle, but you know, that's what it looks like. And you know, Harrington points out that, you know, there was almost like some hints dropped in Kleiman's sort of talk yesterday, which is him saying the we're not close. That the Grizz need to be open-minded about their team-building approach, that it hasn't been good enough, and that there's a need for tough conversations. So, again, sort of where I, it's very easy for me, and I think for you too. It's like Ja is not perfect. He's not a perfect player, but he is the best thing you got in terms of superstar, franchise face, you know, connection with the city. Like, I do think that he connects with the city. I don't think Jaren and Dez have connected with the city in the same way. You know, and that was sort of, that was also like a talking point yesterday, Jason, about how they feel like, you know, maybe they haven't had the players that connected. I mean, because, you know, we weren't talking about attendance and fans not going down in 2015, in 2013, in 2014. Like, dude, Memphis threw all its weight behind those teams. They love those teams. Even if they were flawed fundamentally, everybody loved those teams. That's why they're hanging in the rafters, bro. Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr.'s jerseys are not going to be hanging on there. Even though they might be better players, skill-wise, their names and jerseys will not be hanging in the rafters here because they don't connect with the city in the same way. And, I mean, I wouldn't like necessarily try to build a team that way, but it clearly does matter.
Yeah, I'll just say this, and we're using Harrington's piece and talking about decision trees. I'll say that I do think it's significant. You and I talked about this off air. I think it's significant that a guy like Chris Harrington, and I didn't hear him word for word with Jeff, but I could hear a shift, and it sounded. And Harrington's a guy who's all over the cap. I mean, that's who we go to.
Yep.
In terms of the money, it sounded like he had a changed opinion. Based on what we'd seen this season on how vital Jaren Jackson Jr. is this going forward. Now, it's one thing to write, Zach Kleiman's got to make some tough decisions here, and he wrote, you got to be willing to break this. Essentially wrote, you got to be willing to break this up. But it seemed to me, and I say it's significant that Harrington is doing this because let's remember, I mean, Harrington was high, and in many ways he is kind of pointed to some of us, and me, again, I hold my hand up every time because I was one of the guys booing on draft day. You know, he's had to open our eyes in terms of the player. Harrington said he was going to be a good player once he came from Michigan State. Look at the, you know, what per whatever numbers they were. He ended up being a defensive player of the year, everything else proving he could play through injury, all of that. But and he's sort of been a champion of Jaren Jackson, sort of. I mean, in a way, mm-hmm. our local guy, at least media-wise. Mm-hmm. For him to be at this point with Jaren, I think is significant in the sense that, you know, we're here.
Yeah.
Here's one of Jaren's, not just biggest fans, but in terms of what he's meant to this franchise, believers.
Yeah.
That's where I was going. And he has his doubts now.
Yeah.
So I think it's significant. We know how smart Harrington is on NBA. And again, when he's writing, you got to make serious. That's not run it back or make a, you know, one vet here, one, you know, two vets will fix this thing. I'm just, you know, we don't typically focus on one media member and sort of pivot and hinge on what that person said. But here's a guy who has loved Jaren Jackson since the beginning, thought he was going to be key to this at one point, thought he was the most important player of the franchise, realized Ja Morant comes in, Jaren's going to be sort of the Robin to Batman. But, you know, to say at this point he's not that it's probably dangerous to sign him at those kinds of, you know, at those numbers.
Yeah.
I think it's significant and probably the way the front office should be thinking as well.
Yeah, because it's easy for people who are not in it every day to zoom out and take an aerial view, right? I mean, there's logical, there's sound logic to keeping this team together and doing what we talked about, right? Mm-hmm. Which is going out, getting some pieces, improving,
make sure we
not being
that.
So young. Yeah. You could say, and I know the argument. The argument is, well, the team won 48 games. You know, they finished four games out of second in the West. And then most of that was with rookies. You know, two rookies starting most of the year. They had injuries all year long. Why would you not want to keep this thing together and just pray for better injury luck? That's easy for you to say when you're not in it every single day, because we all know how it all transpired, how ugly it got, you know, after starting 36-15. The Grizzlies were probably never as good as their record indicated. Mm-hmm. And again, it told, I think the story was told in the back half of the season. And so, yeah, it's easy for us to sit back and say, we have logic about this. We can take the aerial view, but what about the players that are in it? What about the superstars that are in it? You know, what about the guys that they may not have that same belief? Because I'm going to be honest with you, bro. If I'm whoever I am, if I'm a superstar and I'm 25, 26, 27 years old, and I'm trying to win. I'm trying to win a title. I'm trying to achieve those things. You know, and I feel like, man, 3 years ago we were headed for a certain place. We were headed for a certain destination, and we've progressively gotten worse. It feels like every single year. You know, how can I say, oh yeah, man, like just keep plugging away, just keep chopping wood, carry water, chop wood. I can't say that, man. We got to do something.
Well, I might have been there if they lose to Dallas in second play and you're keeping a first round pick, because we haven't seen the distance that's between you and, I realize we were talking about during the season, OKC may be one of the best ever assembled, but the distance between you and the top right now.
Oh my God.
Because you could have told yourself, John, if you're not in that, you
that's
know,
true.
If you tanked it or you're done, you could have told yourself we are close, and I think mm-hmm. believed it more, and I might have believed it more. I think this is important. This is why I think playing OKC might have been good, a necessary evil in that sense, Brad. Seeing it, it's like John was using, what was it, last week, 2 weeks? You're talking about Bird Box.
Yeah.
Y'all got to watch this.
Yeah.
Because this is what's going to move you to real change. And real change is needed, not just tinkering. And we might have still believed, I might have still believed that a coaching change, another vet or two, right? If you tanked out, You've got that first round pick, so maybe you go swing a deal.
Yep.
I might have still believed that this core three, this big three, is the key to it. Sign up Jaren. This is the way we're going to do it. So it was probably, again, I'd phrase it, necessary evil. It could have been. So we could be feeling so much different if you just don't play the series. And I don't think, yes, all the analytics say, frankly, the analytics say this OKC team, well, best net rating ever, second best, whatever it is going to go on and win a title. Yes, you put yourself in a position where you had to face a monster, but what we understand now is it's not just OKC. Again, 0-14 since trade deadline versus other playoff teams, teams that are not Miami, Orlando, and Detroit. Everybody else that's in the playoffs that you played since the trade deadline, you lost to.
Yep.
That says shakeup is necessary to me, not run it back.
Right.
Not one or two vets and you know, certainly not believing with full faith that this big three is going to get you there.
Yeah, because it just feels like an indictment. You know, it's an indictment of it's probably not good enough. And if you're in a situation where you're hoping for rookies like become great, you know, I mean, how often does that happen?
So I'm saying it's probably best for the organization that you did have to go out and play it, that you lose the first round pick. And take that medicine,
yep.
Not just for the players like we were talking about coming off of the Lakers. Oh, boy, was that a humbling. I'm talking about for that front office that had to sit there, you know, and watch that. Him and Tayshaun sitting there watching this thing come unraveled since the trade deadline and watching. Essentially, I know the last one was close, but get blown off the floor by OKC. You know, having to watch that eyes wide open, folks holding your eyes open, man, that's probably a good thing. And it surprised me again to see when this collapsed, because it didn't have to be OKC. Y'all didn't have to fall to – playing. Surprised to see Zach Kleiman so defensive yesterday.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It really was. I just expected more. Look, this is on me. Here's plan. I not necessarily what you're going to do with the coaching search. I mean, he left that wide open. He didn't even say whether he's going to do one. Or being committed to the big three, but just more. This is the unintentionally young. That's going around the question there. Again, especially when you set up the situation that allowed Jalen Wells to come in and win that. Jalen Wells, got all credit to him. But that wasn't a situation where you had a vet that was ready enough, good enough to stay ahead of him.
Yep.
Whether it was Vince, whether it was Marcus Smart, whatever else, and that was two draft picks.
I actually thought, you know, again, it's a game four at home when you're a 15.5 point underdog, so everything sort of is through that prism. Where expectations are, like, on the floor, right? I thought Vince actually did show a little bit in that game. But, again, it's just like that's the first time he's shown any.